You're listening to This Woman Can, episode 26, How to Be in Control of Your Financial Wellness. Welcome to This Woman Can, the women's leadership podcast and your source of information related to women's leadership, female entrepreneurship, personal success and career advancement. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland, executive coach, leadership development expert, and the author of This Woman Can, the No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead. And now, this week's episode. Hey everybody, it's Janice here. Welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. Now, in my book, This Woman Can, the No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead, if you haven't purchased a copy, please run out and do so. It's available on Amazon and Kindle. But I tackled a number of questions that women often need answers to on subjects they sometimes just don't want to discuss, so go figure. And over the past few weeks, one of those things is regarding salary and money and finances. So I've been talking about the inequality in pay levels between men and women, why we as women need to negotiate our salaries, the importance of doing that, the power of feeling confident when we enter those negotiations, all of which play a real huge part in our financial well-being. And that's a state we're often aware of not having. Yeah, that's what I said. We're often aware we're not in a good financial state, but we often neglect to really focus on improving. And to be honest, I never really realised that financial well-being is a state we need to actually focus on. But it makes a lot of sense when you look at the impact of not having it. So, my discussion this week is with Tamira Luby of the Directorate of Gender Affairs here in Antigua and Barbuda, and we have a really interesting conversation about the work they're doing to highlight this field and how finances can actually be utilised as a form of abuse in relationships. Plus, we also go over practical tips that can be used to ensure that you have control of your financial wellness. Hi everybody and welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. I'm so delighted you can join me. And as you know, the past couple of weeks I have been discussing things financial. We've touched on the pay gender gap, we've touched on being unafraid to ask what you want in salaries. But as you know, I like to tackle subjects that we as women really like to sweep a little bit under the carpet. So this week I'm taking a slightly different tact. It is all around finance. But we're going to look at financial abuse. And now, I'm no expert on this. I have had my own experiences with it, but I am joined by Tamira Luby, who's the resident counsellor of the Directorate of Gender Affairs Support and Referral Centre here in my country of Antigua and Barbuda. So Tamira, welcome. Say hi to my listeners.
Hello, listeners.
Thank
Hello
you,
everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Janice.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, Tamira, what you did the program? I was so happy you contacted me about this, mm-hmm. and you were telling me it's all part of a program you were doing,
yes.
The Dimensions of Wellness program.
Yes, it is.
Can you tell me a little bit more about what that is? Because I love the work you guys do.
Yes, thank you so much, Janice. You know, you are one of our number one supporters, so we definitely always look forward to having you on board and collaborating with you. So yes, the Dimensions of Wellness program really stemmed out of us at the center trying to strengthen our psychosocial services.
Yeah.
So right now we offer individual counseling to our clients.
Right.
Mainly victims of any form of gender-based and sexual violence.
Okay.
But we realized that we wanted to take a more holistic approach.
All right.
And look at all the various impacts or dimensions that affect somebody's health, well-being, healing, and recovery.
Right.
So that is where the Dimension of Wellness program came from.
Okay.
So it's really what we call like a crash course to becoming your best self.
Okay. I like that. I'm all about self-care and best self.
Yes. It's an introductory course. So what we're looking to do is, or what we have been doing is, focusing on one area of wellness.
Okay.
Each month.
Right.
So there's eight dimensions. You want me to say them out?
Yes, tell me the 8 dimensions. I need to know more. I need to know more.
So there's 8 dimensions. Physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, occupational, social, environmental, and I believe that was, that
eight? That looks like 8. You counted
that. I think that was 8.
So can you count that? And well done for remembering all of them.
Okay. Yes. So each month we host a series of activities or just some social media outreach focusing on a particular dimension. So January we focused on physical.
Yeah.
February we focused on emotional.
Right.
March was spiritual, and this month we're focusing on financial.
So
that is why we are here together.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So tell me a little bit more, what is financial wellness and how does it impact? I mean, I've got my own thoughts, but how does it impact overall wellness?
Okay, so I mean, when we talk about financial wellness, we're talking about money.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Making sure that we have sufficient financial resources to maintain our lifestyle.
Right, right.
But finances, money, is a huge stressor for a lot of people.
Very much, very much, very much.
You know, and a colleague and I were talking about this the other day. We were saying that, you know, financial abundance does not necessarily mean financial wellness. You know, if you have, just because you have a large amount of money doesn't mean that you're financially well. Just because you have a little bit of money doesn't mean that you're financially unwell.
Okay.
It's about looking at what you have, using the resources that you have, and finding a way to budget them, manage them effectively, so that you are able to maintain a certain standard of living.
Okay.
So if persons are not financially well, it can definitely cause a lot of stress and, you know, a stress in their life because they're worrying about money.
Yeah.
It has physical implications as well.
Yeah.
If you don't have sufficient money, then you can't buy nutrition food to feed your body.
Yes,
you can't pay for a roof over your head.
Yeah.
Those type of things. And it also affects us emotionally because of the stress that comes with that.
Yeah. Now, I'll be honest with you, there was a time back in the day where I was totally strapped for cash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I probably worked a couple of jobs. In the UK, we have credit bureaus. My name was blacklisted in those credit bureaus but for various reasons, because of debt. But I didn't class that as, yes, it was worrisome because I had the children and how are you going to feed them, get them to school, give them the nice things they want, let them go on the trips that all this their friends are going on. But how is that financial, and it's probably, I'm probably thinking out loud here because I was, that point I was out of a relationship, but I also remember being in a relationship and still being strapped for cash, even though I was earning money.
Yes.
So how does that fit in the whole gender affairs piece, the financial abuse?
So what you're explaining to me sounds like financial or economic abuse in a way.
Okay.
So, you know, you were saying that although you were earning income, you know, you were still strapped for cash in a certain type of way.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of our clients that come into gender affairs and the Support and Referral Center for Assistance, like I mentioned earlier, are victims of gender-based violence.
Yeah.
And underneath the umbrella of gender-based violence is economic and financial abuse.
Right.
So we find that a lot of our clients, and there's probably some other person out there who are experiencing this now, you know, they're in a relationship, but their partner is their abuser, and they're using and they're withholding financial resources as a way to control and manipulate the person.
Yeah,
you know, so things like them having to turn over their paycheck.
Yeah.
When they get
yes,
paid.
Yes.
You know, not allowing them to work and earn an income for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, these are different forms of financial abuse, and the victim now becomes completely dependent on the abuser.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because I actually remember working with a girl, a friend of mine, she was a good friend, and she used to go to work and her salary was paid into her partner's account, to which she had no access.
Mm-hmm.
He would give her the equivalent then of probably £10 a week to live on.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, what the heck?
Yeah.
Girl, you need to be gone. Yeah. You know, and we eventually moved her out. And then I also, you know, you give me flashbacks. Mm-hmm. But also remember being, even though I was working at the time, what my then other half would have done, mm-hmm. would have literally taken things on hire purchase on credit. And it would be in joint names. And because you're in joint names, you then become accountable for it. Because you don't want your credit to be tarnished, because that stops you further down the line.
From accessing different things.
You end up paying it, but then I didn't have enough money to pay it. So would that be still kind of class? Because that was manipulate, you know.
Yes, most definitely. That would be classed as economic abuse. And again, you know, it's a way of controlling your spending, or, you know, the money that you're making in order to benefit the abuser.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You talked about having to, that the lady that you referred to, having an allowance
of like her own money.
£10.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate, but it happens. And that is a major contributing factor of why people who are in abusive relationships, whether physical, emotional, verbal, and all these things kind of intersect with each other.
Yeah, you can't separate one.
Exactly.
Really,
you know, this is why they stay.
Yes.
This is why they stay, because they just do not have the resources to leave at that point. Maybe sometime down the road, but, you know.
So let me just expand on that a bit, Tamira, mm-hmm. because now you're talking about, I understand at that point, you know, I feel I can't leave. I don't have the financial resources. I've got the children. How am I going to feed them? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to live? Etc. Etc. Apart from all the things about who do I talk to? I can't tell anybody because I feel embarrassed about it. Etc. Etc. Mm-hmm. But I'm in a situation now where I have decided to leave, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking if I don't leave, staying is going to be harder than leaving. Mm-hmm. What are the implications for me leaving that relationship financially?
Well, if we're talking about somebody who is completely dependent on that abusive partner, you know, the implications could be a bit severe, in that now if that person leaves, how are they going to take care of themselves?
Right.
How are they, if they have a family, how are they going to take care of their family?
Right.
You know, now they're going to have to think about, you know, getting work or getting employment or getting money so that they can set themselves up in a position where they can be safe.
Yes.
They can maintain a certain, exactly, a certain lifestyle. So I believe that that is one of the major implications, just the fact that the resources may not be there at the time.
So, again, spanning on that, you're doing some great content, Tamira. But so here in Antigua, as I said, I know the director of gender affairs does a fantastic job.
You know,
I always love the work you guys do. So what services, let's start with here Antigua, mm-hmm. first of all, what services are available for those experiencing, or they've heard what we're talking about, they're thinking, hang on a minute, that kind of sounds a little bit about the situation I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
What can they do? What's available? What help is available?
Okay, so there are several things. The first would be the support and referral center.
Okay.
So they can definitely walk into us at any points of the day. You know, let us know what their situation is, and we will definitely make sure that we provide necessary services or refer them to an agency that can provide the necessary services to meet their needs. So they can walk into the center, or they can even call the crisis hotline, 463-5555, and we can provide them with information that way.
Okay.
But there are two governmental agencies in Antigua that specifically focus on financial management, financial literacy, employment, and things like that.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'll let you know what they are.
Thank you.
So the first one is the Financial Empowerment Center.
Okay.
And that is located in the ACT building. I can't remember the exact street that it's on, but it's in the ACT building in town.
That's High Street, isn't it? The ACT building.
I think
High
so.
Street. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So the Financial Empowerment Center, they offer free services.
Right.
Basically helping people with their personalized financial plans.
Okay.
Their long-term financial goals, budgeting, You know, how to go about taking out loans, applying for loans, all these different things.
Right, right.
So, you know, the person will go and they'll meet with one of the officers there. They will explain their situation. Yeah. They'll most likely ask for information about their income, things like that, so that they have information to work with.
Right.
The second place would be the one-stop employment center, which is located Upper Red Cliff Street next to Beautyrama.
Okay.
So they're a part of Ministry of Labor, and what they do is match job seekers with employers who are hiring.
Okay.
Right? So it's almost like a job
job center.
So the person could just walk in.
Okay.
There's specific things that they would need to take with them to register.
Right.
Like a passport, medical benefits card, social security card, their resume or their CV, and three references.
Okay.
So they'll take that, they'll register them, and they'll, you know, set them up in the system, and then as jobs become available that matches their profile, they could possibly potentially, you know,
fabulous. Mm-hmm. Now that's Antigua. Now let me just slightly ask the question, because it's a small, this is a small country, it's like a small town. I don't want people to know my business. So what level's discretion, you know, how discreet? I appreciate if I go outside of the other agencies, then, you know, I'm talking to other people. But when it comes to the gender affairs, to the referral centre, what can I expect the levels of discretion from that respect?
Awesome question. So everybody who works within the centre and works directly with clients has received specialised training.
Okay.
Okay. Gender sensitization training, right? And they've also received training on confidentiality and privacy.
Excellent.
Aside from that, the persons who work in the center are required to sign a confidentiality agreement.
Right.
And then we also have an in-house privacy policy.
Wow.
So everybody, you know, has
so
to
it's
read
taken
that
really
policy.
Seriously.
It is definitely taken seriously, because we understand these are very sensitive issues. And like you said, Antigua is a small place.
Yeah.
You know, people want to feel safe and secure and know that the information is not going to be, you know, disclosed or let go somewhere. So we definitely make sure that we put all the proper procedures and steps into place to ensure that confidentiality.
And I'm flicking back a little bit.
No problem.
So let me think about the situation I was with my friend. Suppose I'm here and I discover somebody who I suspect is like, look, the man's not doing right. You know, he's kind of, I know it's not, he's untoward. Mm-hmm. Could I make a referral? Does it have to come, if I suspect something, can I make that referral? Or does it have to be the individual actually going through it has to come to you?
So we prefer that the individual actually reach out to us for assistance. One, because we are dealing with adults, you know, it's really, they have the decision. We respect their autonomy. They have the decision to decide whether or not they want to come in and access and access help. Some people may not be at that point where they're ready to come and access help. But you, as a friend, can definitely come in or call, and we can provide you with any information that you may need to assist that friend or encourage that friend to come into the center.
Excellent.
But we do, you know, again, respect privacy, and we would prefer that person to reach out directly.
I understand. It's not always that easy. You know, speaking from experience sometimes, sometimes I wish someone had stepped in, but I totally understand where you're coming from with that. So we touched on Antigua. So as a, the podcast, I'm happy to say, is listened to in over 80 countries.
That's so amazing.
So, you know, and I know we're talking specifically about Antigua, but if we could just generally, what would you advise anybody in any other country? What would be kind of some general advice you could give a woman who finds herself in this situation?
Okay. So, well, in a economic abusive situation. Okay. So first, I would definitely say, you know, look and see, or do some research and see, you know, what services are out there in your area. Most of us have access to the internet at this point, and you can find almost anything online.
Okay.
So, you know, checking Google, maybe going to your local library or, you know, your local town center and seeing what information may be out there for persons, you know, who are in your situation.
Right, right.
Secondly, I always advise safety planning, right? The person may not be able to do that on their own, but if they have a trusted friend, a trusted family member, or if they do go to these places to access help, just some tips and strategies that they can use in order to keep themselves safe in the event that something happens in the moment.
Right.
I would also recommend just some tips on how to manage your finances.
I was about to say, because let me go back a little bit. You talked about safety planning. Uh-huh. I've not heard that phrase before.
Okay.
So
that is something that we offer here in the center.
So just expand on safety planning a bit.
No problem. So in a situation where somebody may be fearful for their life, but may not at that point want to get the police involved.
Okay,
Almost sounds contradictory, but it happens.
No, actually, I totally understand.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just trying to, and you can also Google this as well, just looking at different ideas, different strategies that you can use to keep yourself in a safe situation or a safer situation. So for instance, not backing yourself into a corner.
Okay.
Or not backing into a corner if somebody is attacking you.
Right.
You know, making sure that you know where the exits are, how to get out of your house, whatever the case is, using different routines and routes to get to and from work.
Right.
Making sure that you have copies of like important documents, passports, health cards, things like that, outside of the house. So that in the case that you need to flee and leave things, you have, you're able to access that information.
Yeah.
You know, things like not walking down a dark alley by yourself.
Yeah.
Right. So just different strategies and things that you can use to try to make yourself feel more safe and to stay safe. Keeping certain numbers on speed dial.
Right. Yes. You know?
One thing that we use and tell our clients is, you know, if you have time and you see your abuser, you know, approaching, coming, you could even just dial 911 on your phone.
Yeah.
Leave it hanging.
So,
And then, you know, and then just speak.
Just speak
and you say things that, you know, can probably
Give some indication where you are.
Is what I'm talking about when I'm saying safety planning.
That's deep.
And we, and at the center, we help our clients with protection orders.
Okay.
And sometimes that may take a few days until, you know, it's put together and application is processed. So we always make sure to do some type of safety plan in the interim.
Okay, excellent. So, and if let's flip back again, you're going to give us some tips, and that's great information, Tamira, fantastic information. So give us some tips and resources that we could look like. So, you know, maybe you're thinking, listen, you're here, and you're like, well, I'm not in that deep situation. However, I would like to make myself a little more financially astute and have a little bit more robust. I'd like to be able to have a little bit of money in my pocket. What were the tips and advice or guidance you could give to anybody in that situation?
Okay, so the best place for people in Antigua to go would definitely be the Financial Empowerment Center. However, some tips that I can recommend on my own as a non-expert would be, one, to set up a visual financial calendar.
Okay.
Right? So making sure that you're noting dates when your bills are due, dates when school fees are due, you know, any kind of important financial obligation that you may have. Because a lot of times we just try to keep it in our head and try to recall it. But actually having a visual or a reminder on your phone that goes off
that says, pay this bill. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, you'll know when it's due, and then you'll be able to see, okay, it's leading up to it. So now you can plan better to make sure that you secure the funds for these specific bills.
Okay.
So a calendar will be my first tip. The second tip, definitely budget.
Yeah.
Definitely budget. And I know we all talk about wanting to budget, and it can be extremely difficult, but it is so crucial to your financial management.
Right.
You know, knowing what expenses, sorry, what income you have coming in and the expenses that you have going out.
Okay.
Right. So that way you'll be able to, you know, dedicate and put aside a certain amount of money that you can ensure would cover these particular things.
Right, right.
And sticking to that budget.
Okay.
Sticking to that budget. Especially, you know, until you get yourself maybe in a better financial situation.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be some sacrifices. You might not be able to, you know, buy the high brand food. You might have to buy the store brand food because it's a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
But stick within your budget.
Yeah. It's almost remember the bigger picture, because, you know, the bigger picture then in that instance, for instance, is making sure you're not hungry.
Yeah.
You know, that's the first step.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So those would be my two biggest suggestions.
Excellent.
I don't know, do you have any tips?
I was going to say run, but no, that was my... I think one of the things I did, you talked about budgeting and stuff like that, it was having the awareness that at the situation I was in, it was different, but I also knew I wanted to leave, mm-hmm. and I almost, I suppose, squirreled away a little bit of cash each month, you know, so I would have a little bit of a nest egg myself, you know, if finance allow you to do that, you know, and it's just, I suppose, just being aware of being aware of the situation. And I know, listeners, if you're in this situation, it's easier said than done. I'm speaking from experience here. I know it's easier said than done, but to be honest, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I think back to where I was, and we're talking 30 years ago for me, mm-hmm. personally, but the resource, there's so much more resources out here now. And as much as we still don't talk about it, there are more options available.
Yeah.
And if you find yourself in that situation, the one thing I would say to do is to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tamira's gone through some of the discretion, the privacy, and wherever you are, I think that runs synonymous with most organizations in this field. So I would certainly recommend start with talking to somebody you trust,
mm-hmm.
build up that trust, and then look to make the next steps. But have a plan. If you have time to have a plan.
Yeah, and that is so, so important. You know, you made a reference to the fact that it's not going to happen overnight.
No.
You know, you might make the decision to leave or to move, but it's okay if it's not done immediately.
Yes, yes.
It has to happen, you know, in your own time, and it has to happen when you have a plan in place and when you're actually able to make that move.
Yeah.
There may, you know, unless it's like a crisis.
Yes.
Emergency situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, it would be better to have a plan in place so that when you do leave, you know exactly what to expect, where to go, and things like that.
Yeah. And that kind of leads, as you said, into your emotional wellness. So I think that's a nice segue there, because once you've got that finance bit sorted, emotionally you feel a little bit stronger, mm-hmm. to actually make that move. So now I'm seeing the connection to the eight dimensions of wellness.
You feel stronger, you feel more empowered, you feel independent, and you feel proud.
Yes.
You made this move after such difficult times.
Yes, yeah. And you should be proud. So Tamira, I think that was my last question.
Awesome.
Unless anything else you want to add.
No, I think we're good.
Excellent, excellent. So thank you so much for joining me this week. You know, it's a really important subject. As I said, we really don't talk about it, and this woman can. I like to tackle subjects that a little bit, I call it taboo, a little bit more taboo subjects.
Yeah.
We know it happens. We don't talk about it. If we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
If you see someone suffering, you know, reach out to them, just let them know you're there. If you're going through it, reach out to some of the resources we've discussed.
Yes, and you can always call the crisis hotline. It's 24 hours, 7 days a week. It's manned by trained professionals, 463-5555. Or you can walk into the center Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30.
Thank you so much. And listeners, that is Antigua number, but you will have something very similar wherever you are if you're outside of Antigua Barbuda. Yes. So Tamira, thank you so much for joining me this week.
Well, thank you, Janice. I'm really, really happy that you decided to allow me to come on here today. It was an excellent conversation, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I really hope you found that informative and quite possibly thought-provoking. Tamira really highlighted the great resources that are available in Antigua and Barbuda. But for my overseas listeners, I'm sure there are similar resources available wherever you are. So I urge you to seek help and support wherever you are. In my experience, your strength lies in seeking accepting health. And though it's not easy to see a solution when we're actually knee-deep in the situation we're in, they are there, and I'm really speaking from experience. So until next time, remember, if I can, you can, this woman can. Take care. You've been listening to the This Woman Can podcast, brought to you by This Woman Can, the no bullshit guide for women who lead, available on Amazon and Kindle. For more information about the training and consulting services offered for women who lead, including one-on-one executive coaching and group masterminds, visit thiswomancan.coach.